Philanthropy Month. We're calling all active citizens to join in on this global Black philanthropy initiative. This special fundraising effort assists the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals for Black serving nonprofit organizations. Tackle issues close to home, from poverty to quality education, gender equality to economic growth. Individuals and businesses can participate in this fundraiser, internationally administered by Support Black Charities. Visit global-bpi.org to learn more and spread the message. Donate today at global-bpi.org.
Visit The Screening Room, Kingston's only independent movie theater located downtown at 120 Princess Street. They specialize in playing art house, international classic, and cult cinema, along with Hollywood's best new releases. People also always say they have the best popcorn in town. Visit Screening Room at screeningroom.com for upcoming show dates and ticket information.
Coming your our way this morning. I'm going to have some of my co-hosts joining me in just a little bit. So you're going to have your usual Monday morning chaos for the block and that sort of thing. My weekend was good. I hope yours was as well. Now, I think we should just kick it off with the music here this morning, as I've got a pick from the top of the show that I don't know if I would call it indie necessarily, but I think this is my venue to play this song, because to me, this song kind of feels like the morning. It feels like a good morning. It feels like the sun rising and getting the day going well. So I think it would be fun to just get into this track right away. So here on CFRC 101.9 FM, here is A Tribe Called Quest with Can I Kick It?
Kick it to all the people who can quest like a tribe does. Before this, did you really know what I was? Comprehend to the track force, why? Cuz getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug. Afrocentric living is a big shrug. A life filled with, that's what I love. A lower plateau is what we're above. If you diss us, we won't even think of. We'll nip of the dog and give a big shove. This rhythm really fits like a snug glove. Like a box of positives, it's a plus love. As the trial flies high like a dove.
Follow us for the funky behavior. Make a note on the rhythm we gave ya. Feel free, drop your pants, yeah, yeah, hey, ya. Do you like the garments that we wear? I instruct you to be the obeyer. A rhythm recipe that you'll savor. Doesn't matter if you're minor or major. Yes, the tribe of the game with a player. As you inhale like a breath of fresh air.
this trip worth a while. You see, she's got the kind of loving and a kissing. I'll make a man go stone wild. So I got to keep on walking. I got to walk on. Oh, oh, oh. I'm so tired. But I just can't lose my stride. I got 15 miles to go now. And I can hear my baby.
morning indie wake-up call. I am now joined by my co-host.
Hey.
Mikey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It was a long weekend, but one that I can't complain about. How was your weekend?
It was good. I DJed the Memorial Market last night.
Yesterday morning, rather.
It was great. It was a good time. The records that I brought in today are the records I didn't get a chance to play because they only had the like digital setup for me, even though I thought they were going to have both set up for me. So I just played... Is this me? Yeah. So I just played stuff from my USB and not also my record collection. So we played... Disco Dancer and Disco Fever from this like Montreal disco troupe called Zigzag. I got this record from McKinnon Farms has done like very sporadic vinyl sales.
Oh, really?
Like a few years ago now, they had a bunch of different distributors and people who had records come set up shop and sell records. And then this person who sold me them, Joel Gordon, was a Toronto DJ who was friends with Laura Kelly. So we got to chatting and then he sold me on this one and another one I didn't bring. But yeah, this is a weapon for sure. This is a great, if I ever end up DJing slow dance, this is gonna be in my crate for sure. And then this one is the Minecraft soundtrack.
That's what I thought. I didn't want to say it and sound like a clown.
Nope, it is literally the Minecraft soundtrack.
But I was like, this sounds exactly like the Minecraft soundtrack.
We are listening to My Son Venus right now. It's great. This is composed by C418, who's done a lot of other video game soundtracks. And then the record was pressed by Ghostly. Ghostly are a pretty legendary record label. They put out a bunch of really cool indie, electronic-y, folky adjacent stuff. Really on the pulse for sure. They also have a lot of cool merch and like really well-designed stuff. Huge fan of Ghostly as a record label. 10 out of 10.
Do you have a favorite record in your collection or just one that has something cool about it?
Oh gosh, a lot of them are like random single pressings of video game soundtracks.
That's great.
And as a result, they are very expensive because nerds love collecting stuff and I only ever wanted them because I would have liked the soundtrack. So there's, I think I've got one more. There's a video game called Dust Force, which is a platforming one. That one was composed by Disaster Piece. This cool, like, smoky, dusty, see-through, translucent record. I also grabbed a record from Yama Hiroto, who is a well-known collaborator of the now-deceased Nujabes. If you listen to Nujabes' music, you've heard Yama Hiroto do their it's a high-register horn of some kind. I forget what they actually use. But that was another moment where I just grabbed the record because I wanted the record, and it turns out single pressing ended up being very expensive. But just a lot of like random stuff like that. I haven't really sought out a lot of like, I know this is gonna flip real good. No, it's just like, I don't know, collecting stuff is fun, but also now I have too much vinyl and I've instead started collecting cassettes.
I specifically don't have my vinyl here and I don't have my record player here because I needed to remove the temptation to buy more vinyl.
It's terrible. They're so large and cumbersome.
Exactly.
Nothing's convenient about it. Like, I really have done my best to stop buying vinyl. And if I want to buy physical merchandise, cassettes or CDs, just make more sense from a convenience.
Cassettes are tiny.
Cassettes are great and cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am going to take a little second to say that I have the Rocky Horror soundtrack on like a red translucent vinyl.
Whoa.
And that's my favorite one in my collection.
Pretty swanky. Who did the, who like pressed it?
Who pressed it? I would have to look, to be honest with you, because it was the Absolute Treasures rendition of it, which means it had almost all of the songs from the musical that were then cut from the movie. However, they were sung by the movie cast. So for example, like you would have Once in a While, which did not make the cut, but it's all sung by the movie cast as opposed to the Roxy cast or anything like that.
Sweet. Any other, just like you have one vinyl and you have it framed up somewhere?
I have it. Well, I do. Here's the thing. I listen to all of them. I can't get it and not listen to it. That's just not who I am. Especially because most of the stuff I get it used and it's already been listened to. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy this. I have a lot of Billy Joel. I have a lot of Elton John. I would say I'm approaching getting to the point of having most, if not all, of each of their LPs.
You're used. An old queer man.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. When I was, it was like extremely off-putting to be like a 16-year-old girl who was really into Zanzibar.
Wow.
By Billy Joel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That kind of explains, I think, my whole energy and what it's like to be around me.
That rules. That's lore for sure, baby.
Yeah, it's definitely lore. It's kind of like, I've been told that I have like newsboy energy, like I'm going to sell you a pape kind of thing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes, you're one cabbie hat away.
Exactly. And I may or may not own a hat like
that. I know. I do not. That if I had to put $1 million on that, I would have said yes. There's no way you don't own at least one iteration of cabbie hat. How about you? What did you get up to this weekend?
I was at Fan Expo this weekend.
Yes, you were.
I was. And I did only do the one day. And it's funny because I have a blast every time I go. But then I say to myself, oh my gosh, this is too many people. I'm not coming next year. And then at the end of the day, we get home from con and we're all sitting there and we're like, I can't wait to do this again next year. It's all. But now we have an idea for a group cosplay that we have to do and all that sort of thing. But I met Neil Newbon, the voice of Astarion, and I got his autograph, and he had a full conversation with me despite the huge line. And wow. I was fully like dressed up as his character. He leaned around security.
Oh my goodness.
He leaned around security to like mouth love it at me when he saw me coming. Not even when I was in the line. Like he spotted me across the con floor. This guy is so nice, so bad at being famous. So bad at being famous because he shook my hand and said, I'm Neil, when he asked my name. Dude, I know you're Neil.
I think that's just courtesy.
It is. It's something like, though, like having met him in comparison to other experiences I've had meeting people at cons, it was like completely different.
Right.
And I get that if you're really, really big, you just simply don't have the time.
Yeah, totally.
But it does occasionally feel a little bit of a hit to spend a lot of time lining up for somebody and you don't even get to talk to them.
Right.
For example, my younger brother, when Stranger Things 4 came out, he loved Stranger Things 4. And so he said, Lauren, can we go get a photo with Joseph Quinn, who plays Eddie? I said, you know what? Why not? You want to do this thing with me? Let's do it. So we were dressed up as Eddie and Dustin because Cole wanted to do it. And here comes a Dustin cosplay. Cole's 6'1". And he's like dusted. He's this little kid that Gotten Matarazzo plays.
Right.
Joseph Quinn sees him and clearly wants to talk to him and is trying to start up this conversation. The photographer completely like waves us through. We get maybe 20 seconds with him.
Oh, brutal.
So it's a hit and miss thing. If I go again next year, personally, and this is no shade to anybody because this is just how the cons work, unfortunately, with that volume of people. I don't think I'm doing the autograph or photo thing next year unless it's truly unreal who it is.
Yeah.
I was torn this year because Keith David was also going to be there, but the decision was made for me because he canceled.
Right. Okay.
But I also was like, I want to go see Keith David for the thing and I don't end for like Princess and the Frog and all this other random stuff that he's done. I love him, but I'm going to be lined up with like I don't know how he would take it for everyone to be there for Hasbin Hotel and then I pull up and get him to sign my The Thing poster.
I mean, I'm sure they would appreciate, like, if they are, like, known for one thing and then someone brings, like, a quote-unquote deep cut. I'm sure they would appreciate that sort of thing.
Yeah, like, right? I was talking to Neil Newbon about, he also played Heisenberg in Resident Evil Village. We were talking about that and that sort of thing, and I'm sure that's a good break for him. He was also in, like, Detroit Become Human and all that kind of thing. This guy's everywhere.
It's not a video game. That's not a real video game.
It's like a movie.
It's so bad.
I do like the acting in it, though. The mocap and the actual performances in it.
It's just so horrendously on the nose.
You think? It's been a while since I've really buckled down and listened to it.
It's bad.
Watch it, play it, whatever.
I've seen more than enough clips to, like they made the robots ride the back of the bus. Like,
oh my God, really?
It's so
horrendously
on the nose.
I've literally just seen all the cutscenes.
No, it's bad.
Oh my God.
It's so like, I wonder what the illusion is here.
No.
It is truly cudgeling you over the head with it. It's not worth your time, unless you want to laugh, I guess.
I just remember, no, I've just seen all the cutscenes that, like, people continuously come back to and that sort of thing. But I'm also obsessed with watching mocap videos from, like, the voice actors and the mocap actors.
Yeah.
Watching them actually in the silly little suits, and I'm still, like, crying. Like, I won't give it away on air, but certain scenes you might know in The Last of Us Part 2, watching those in mocap still feels like an absolute, like a punch to the chest.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. Yeah, the director, David Cage, like, they also did Heavy Rain. Right.
Oh my God.
And, like, Heavy Rain is another one of those not in brackets famous.
Beyond,
like,
Two Souls.
If you don't know about Heavy Rain, it was, like, this weird detective thing that
no,
was, like,
so
pretentious.
No, I know
so
of it, I just haven't played it.
And do you care about spoilers at all?
No, okay, everyone, spoilers for 2010's Heavy Rain.
The twist is lied to you about. Like, it's presented in a way, like, you're trying to solve the crime scene, but one of the characters is the bad guy, and they have no indication that the narrator is an unreliable narrator. They just straight up lie to you about that. And then the twist is like, oh, they did the murder. It was
that
this character you
my
played.
My least favorite thing in the whole world. Okay,
yeah.
So as someone who has been told that I have a little bit of an uncanny ability to guess plot twists in movies, which is just a pattern recognition thing. And I only ever do it if I'm watching something with someone that's already seen it. I will turn to them and say it. I will not say it to a group. But I've scared the crap out of people with this on multiple occasions. But if I can figure it out, that doesn't mean it's a bad plot twist.
Right.
It means you gave your audience the tools to do the work. Like, one writing workshop I took for writing for audio and for the screen was, you give your audience a task for them to complete. We're in the age of kind of telling people to just sit back and go with
it. Yeah, you're asking a lot for most people these days, because people, I don't know, I've heard enough about how people consume media in a way that's like, it's like a lot of second screen content, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like, people are on their phones or whatever, and it's like harder to have people, like, stay on task.
It's
with you.
Yeah, and you can kind of see it even in, like, when I saw Nope. I don't know if you saw Nope, Jordan Peele's 2022
movie.
No,
I'm so skittish when it comes to horror and horror adjacent stuff.
I would say Nope is more of like a creature feature or a thriller.
Yeah.
But there's a subplot that is so key thematically. It just happens to take place 20 years prior and not relate directly to that creature that we're talking about, but to one of the main characters' backstories. And people are like, I don't understand why that subplot had to be in there if it had nothing to do with creature.
Right.
Girl, the themes.
Yeah, totally.
And for example, like, my Twitter is inundated with Longlegs content, and people are like, oh my gosh, I just noticed in the back that Longlegs is like hiding behind this corner. Girl, I saw that the second it was on screen because I was looking.
Yeah, I was using
that's the scare.
The
that's
medium.
Why they played the scary
the
sting.
Yeah.
I get that maybe it's a vision thing, but this is thousands of people. It's not just one person's vision difference, right? It's like people on Twitter going, oh my gosh, I never noticed that before. And I'm like, was I watching a different film?
I'm so glad I have really brought back my social media presence. Nuked my Twitter. I'm only on Instagram, and I only hang out on Discord now and rarely on Reddit. So I only hear through the filtration of my other, like, conscious media consumers complaining about unconscious media consumers.
And I'm not
and
trying to, if you are just watching your media for fun, if you're just watching your media for fun, I totally, totally get it. I just think that, like, we have to be careful with making criticisms of media that you didn't view carefully
in
the first
place.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be allowed to. You should, if you're putting a Letterboxd review on, you need to tick a little box that said, I only saw this with one screen present or something. Like, I did check my phone.
Yeah.
Like, some sort of, like,
period.
Signing off that you have validated your review here.
And I was, and I even like to do that at home. Like, I watched Insomnia for the first time recently, the Nolan flick with Al Pacino and Robin Williams.
Right, yes.
And, yeah, I sat there with my phone off. I'm like, I'm going to sit down and watch this. And it's hard sometimes because your brain is hard.
Your brain is cooked.
Yep,
it's so
cooked.
Bad.
I'm trying to uncook it right
it's
now.
It's so bad how fried just the sheer magnetism that a smartphone has.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I'm slowly getting defried in many, many ways.
Godspeed.
Defried, and including, like, instead of looking at my phone before I go to bed, I put the screen off and I listen to like 20-30 minutes of Andy Serkis reading me The Fellowship of the Rings.
Nice. Okay.
And then I go to bed. Because well I have, done. This is my nerd blind spot. This is my first Lord of the Rings experience. I'm serious.
Wow.
I'm serious.
No, I didn't read The Hobbit as a kid. No, I didn't watch the first movie. No,
nothing.
None of that. That is incredible.
Neither of my parents really liked it, so it just wasn't, it just didn't.
It didn't come down the pipeline.
I think I own The Hobbit at some point, but I just.
I think yeah. every single family
But I know
has
I'm
going to
love
point.
It. Like, I'm already loving it.
Yeah.
And I can tell that my brain worms are getting like, ooh, it's a new interest. And there's so much content for it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to go on the internet and be like, why isn't anyone talking about The Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, totally.
Not why isn't anyone talking about this audio drama that has 30 monthly listeners on Spotify?
That's me when I brought a Blazeball that one time.
Oh my God, Blazeball. I remember Blazeball. Do you remember Clone High?
No.
We're doing some real Tumblr deep cuts for you this morning.
The Blazeball thing came through me after the big Tumblr exodus.
Okay.
My younger brother, I don't remember how they got into Blazeball, but they pitched it to me through the like browser game aspect of it, which is how I imagine some or most people got into it. But then you like join the Discord and then there's all this people and like, wow, everyone's making fan art. And there's like a real band for the band. Like, it's incredible the depth in which people went into it.
Oh, yeah. Like, most of my current collaborators, like recurrent collaborators and good internet friends, we met through a pandemic Discord server that was about like a sci-fi audio drama. And all the content that came out of us being on, like the fan art that came out of that, yeah. the music that came out of that, eventually like writing together inspired by that and that sort of thing. So, yeah, and yeah, pandemic was kind of huge for that for me. And look what happened. I'm in a very niche creator vein. Let's get into it. That's CFRC core for you. Yeah.
That's a lot of lore.
That's a lot of lore.
I also ran two other shows this yeah? weekend just to bring it back home.
Right.
I'm real tired.
Was the hobby gig this weekend? Like I said, I was away because I had to come to work too.
Both shows ruled. The hobby gig was so much fun. No one came out, which was so disappointing.
Oh my gosh.
There's like two people, but it's like three really good country acts. Brock Mattson was solo, and solo like queer country sort of stuff. Locals, Cody Allen James and The Good Company. Cody is wonderful people. They're in a few projects in town. They're also in the Mature Themes. Hobby are a Toronto-based country troupe. There was like five of them. They needed four microphones. It was sweet. And then I also booked customer service from East Coast in Halley. They were like a Midwest emo sounding troupe. And they like wanted the same date that I'd already booked with Hobby. And I was just like, if you guys want to just slot right into the billing, you're more than welcome to. It was great. All the bands were like bantering between each other. They're like, who wants to, don't forget to buy merch. We've got merch at the back of the show. And then someone just yelled, Jersey Swap. Which is great.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, I meant to send my apologies that I couldn't make it. I wasn't feeling well.
No,
that
everyone's
day.
Got their own. It's totally
This weekend
fine.
Was wild for a lot of people.
Yeah, shocking.
Yeah. Congratulations, Dina Megan.
TY, yeah, I know.
So I saw
Chance looking real spiffy as I was like grabbing gear on Saturday. And also when I was setting up for the show Friday, lo and behold, Jesse was there.
No way.
With Megan, and they were like getting sound figured out for the rehearsal or the ceremony at the church. And I ended up helping troubleshoot them with sound.
Oh my gosh, that was where it was.
Yep.
That's wild. I thought you were going to say, because I got a wire cross with the Spire because Jesse was at the Spire recently for, I don't know if we can announce it yet, but it is on the
I think we did. Budget. I think we can announce it. It's November. When in November?
November
is it?
30th?
November. Yeah, we can just vaguely say clear your calendars for November 30th and just put the Spire in.
It's going to be a great time. It's going to be, that's awesome. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a good time.
Let's do some more music.
You want to do some more music?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so let's see what I have queued up for us here. Are you an Alan Raymond fan at all?
I have no idea who they are.
Alan Raymond
is,
I believe...
Or do I know who they are?
Probably, like, once you hear them. Toronto-based artist, like, I would say alternative R&B. This is off the album Hotel Alan, which is personally no skips for me. A little bit of a nostalgia factor there. Like, I loved this album in high school. But I think it's also just this track has a great beat, and the album is a really, really cohesive piece that I end up falling back on a lot of the time. It is Alan, two A's. So
Oh my God, I'm never going to get that in a million years.
Sorry, I should have taken a look there for you.
Was I right with the... Okay, I don't know. Anyway, we can...
Alan Raymond, it's okay.
Alan Raymond, you led me astray.
I did not say mayor. I definitely said Raymond.
No.
I've got a council in the back. I've got a council in the back who can vouch for me. We're gonna talk about it over the break. And we could play the tape. This goes in the archive. We can play the tape. Roll back the tape. All right, so then we're just going to turn it over to Alan Raymond here on CFRC 101.9 FM with Lucy the Tease.
Just the one time, guess all the mystique only Of the years of the makeup that's near for thee.